yeah, it was kind of the fall semester that I was like, yeah, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. So I talked to my parents and I was like, what do you guys think if I like moved to Nashville and like really tried to do this for real? And they were like, if that's what you want to do, go for it. Like,
really?
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners, homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063. In this episode, we have Adam Yarger, country singer and songwriter. Adam, welcome to the show.
What's up? How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for making the trip in.
Dude, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So where is home for you?
Originally, home is Center Hall, Pennsylvania. Right now, my wife and I live over in Burnham, PA, though. So it's like 20, 30 minutes from home.
Yeah.
South of town.
And from here, that's probably, what, almost 2 hours?
I think it was like an hour 40 with the traffic.
Okay.
Hour 50, maybe. Yeah. That might be pushing it, but it wasn't bad. It was a nice drive.
Well, yeah, it's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful country up there.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Coming down through, love it.
Especially in the fall when the leaves change. But, yeah, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I wanted to start off, I've had on Cody Tyler, mm-hmm. Jess Zimmerman Band, Jake Maish, as we've talked about. I'm in talks with Matt Friedman. I don't know if you've heard of him.
He's the name sounds like familiar, Westchester,
yeah. But so many local talent, local artists. And it was Cody Tyler that said, called PA, it's Pennsyltucky.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Such a classic name.
Such a classic name. And the more I'm meeting talent like yourself, you know, and these other really talented musicians and artists, it's like, man, Pennsylvania, or Pennsyltucky, let me correct myself, there's something special here.
There is. There really is. I was listening to the Jake Maish episode on the way down, and I wanted to throw another name into this pot that, you know, these guys are absolutely killing it. The Heartstrings.
Okay.
Oh my god, dude,
I gotta look them up. Tell me about them.
Yeah, great friends with Jacob. It's a family band, so it's Jacob on vocals. I want to say he does rhythm, but I think he plays lead too. He can shred.
Yeah.
His sister Maria on bass, his brother Brian on drums, and I can't remember who plays guitar. I want to say that is an outsider, so not a family member.
Okay.
But I want to say somebody bounces around on guitar, and I want to say the dad gets involved sometimes too.
Really? So the whole family.
Oh, yeah. It really is That's a family wild. Band. Yeah, they really are awesome. They just put out an album. We did a collaboration. So I was really excited to talk about that. You know, the Heartstrings and I put out a song called Booze. It's on their album, Sad Cowboy. They're really killing it right now. They just did an album release party, and I feel like every time I turn around, their shows are packed.
That's awesome. Yeah, that just came out. Like, literally, maybe
in a month March, or two. Yeah, yeah, in March it came out.
Because I always like to look up, again, when artists come on. I go to Spotify, obviously, SoundCloud, I look there. And then, you know, maybe I'm old school. I go into iTunes. I look at iTunes. I listen to like the 30-second preview they give you.
Yeah.
And I did. I saw that album just came out recently, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind
of
cool.
There's a lot of great songs on it. It's got a little Coe Wetzel vibe, Southern rock, I would say.
Yeah.
But, man, they're really crushed. I'm really excited for those guys. So, got to throw the Heartstrings name out there and give them a little plug.
If they ever want to come on the podcast, it's always open. The seat's always open. I got two guest mics. So
I will extend that invitation to them for sure. No, they're awesome. I
appreciate that. Pennsyltucky here, I think, is kind of like, and again, Cody Tyler talking with him, it's almost like Nashville, I guess you could say. Obviously, Nashville's, you know, Music City and whatnot, but it's like maybe the undertones. It's not a lot of undiscovered talent, and people like you and the people we mentioned, these names, Jess Zimmerman, like it's starting. You guys are starting to put Pennsyltucky on the map, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
No, I definitely agree. I was thinking that when I was listening to Jake Mache and thinking like we could be the next Oklahoma.
Yeah,
you know, everybody. Yeah. Who is that? Turnpike. They come out of Oklahoma, I believe. Zach Bryan out of Oklahoma. You know, so it's just one of those things, like, you know, like Cody is saying, like once one of us hits, it could be like a floodgate just bursting open. Yeah.
No, I love it. So let's get some background. What is your grassroots? I believe, you know, you're kind of growing up in, you know, Appalachian mountains up in Central PA.
I would say a portion of them, not fully Appalachian. I honestly would say where I'm from is a lot of farmlands. That's how I always kind of viewed it when I was growing up, because my backyard, there was grass, and then there was a cornfield. And then to go into town, it was nothing but farm fields the whole way in. And so to me, it was more so like I live in farm country or whatever, not knowing really like what the country looked like. You get out to those, you know, big states, Iowa and Ohio. I mean, there are some, even Illinois. There are freaking fields that just go on for miles. Ooh. And so, it was more so to me like a little farm town. And, growing up, I was always into wrestling, you know. And then once high school hit, I got a four-wheeler. I was going over to the farm. And so that's where all this, like, country roots started to kick in. Okay. And, that was just kind of the growing up.
From way back in the day.
Way back. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm 30. I'll be 31 in July. So,
okay.
It is kind of weird to think, like, oh, wow, that was, 15, 17 years ago. It's oh, my goodness. It's
crazy to think about, like, where did the time go, you know? But now growing up around the farm country, that kind of, I'd imagine, helped influence your music. But do you recall a moment when you're like, okay, I want to be a singer-songwriter?
There were a couple moments, actually. I remember when, I guess, music got introduced to me. I guess one of my fondest memories is my dad and I were upstairs. It was like unfinished. And so we were putting the drywall up and putting carpet down and stuff like that. And I was, oh my gosh, I was so young. So I wasn't really helping. I was just up there, you know, spectating what was going on.
Holding the flashlight.
That's right. I remember there was a song, Horse With No Name by America, and I don't know what it is. I still, to this day, I love that song. It's probably one of my favorite songs, and it just clicked with me then, and, you know, growing up, he was always listening to that kind of stuff, the Eagles, Bob Seger, so I got a really hardcore, you know, knowledge of that as a kid, and then my mom, she was always listening to, like, I guess it would be pop, like NSYNC. Like I loved NSYNC as a kid.
Yeah.
Like there's videos. Hopefully my parents never let TMZ or anybody release these videos, but I'm on my bed jumping and singing along to NSYNC.
Yeah.
And so I would say that I've always kind of had some kind of bone in my body for like the entertainment world. So that was kind of the groundwork, but I kind of, I didn't really push that until like later in life, to be honest. It was, I loved wrestling in, you know, kindergarten all the way up to high school. And so, you know, I'm getting this music knowledge on the side technically, and I'm full time focused on being a wrestler. And, yeah, that was great. I mean, I loved that, and, had a lot of challenges to overcome, but, I feel like I'm getting way ahead.
Yeah.
This conversation. Yeah. I feel like I don't want to like steer it into a different direction. If you have a specific way to go, you
take the helm. I'm just I'm just here to enjoy it. I guess so. But yeah, no, I mean, I definitely want to talk about your wrestling career. Now, were you into music like in school? Were you in like chorus or band or anything like that? Or?
I never pushed any kind of vocal stuff. I don't know if I was like afraid or,
yeah,
you know, kind of like we were talking about not hearing ourselves, like our voices.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, I wasn't like ready. I didn't really care for like what I was sounding like. So through high school, I was actually really, really focused on guitar. And, yeah, I guess to bring back in the wrestling topic, in seventh grade is when I got my, well, my first real guitar. My gram got me way on back. I can't remember how old I was. Probably 4, 5, maybe.
Wow. Real little.
But I had
real
no young. Idea how to play it. Like, right, it just sat in the box and was kind of those things like if it would spark interest, it will
happen. It's there. Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And so in seventh grade, we've moved on. And, you know, I never got that guitar out, maybe like once or twice. But again, no knowledge on it and no idea what I'm doing. But seventh grade rolls around and I go and see Nickelback at the Jordan Center.
Okay.
Barron State College. Yes. And wow, that shook me to the core, brother. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
I love Nickelback.
Dude, they rock.
A lot of people shit on
like,
them.
I have no idea what that whole like era was
about,
especially now because they're like huge again.
Yeah. Again, they made a comeback, yeah.
Weird. But yeah, no, they struck a nerve with me and I was like, oh my God, I think I want to play guitar, like for real, for real.
Yeah, okay.
And so,
Nickelback,
so,
yeah.
I didn't
see that coming.
Yeah, how about it, dude?
I like it, though.
Yeah, it's wild. The story is wild. But I said to my dad, I was like, hey, if I win States this year, get me a guitar.
Okay.
And so he was like, oh, yeah, I'll take that bet. So I forget. We were like a track meet for my sister across country. And there's a picture of me and my dad shaking on this.
No way.
And that year I won PJWs. It was not technically States. In my eyes, it is States because it was everybody from the state that, you know, if you're wrestling, you're doing that tournament.
Yeah.
So everybody would do it. And they technically did call it the state title. So PJWs, 2007, I took it home.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was really, really excited about it. Yeah. I guess it was kind of life-changing. And
your dad honored it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My dad's the man. Good. So, he honored that. I got a Yamaha Pacifica. It was blue. And I was stoked about it, too, because when I was growing up, like 10th grade, or no, I was 10 years old. It wasn't 10th grade. Drake and Josh was huge
Drake
to me.
And Josh,
dude,
heck yeah.
I loved
heck
that
yeah.
show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drake would play, I think it was a Fender Pacifica too. I could be all wet. Who knows what it was. But I remember there was an episode, he was like, oh, it's Candy Cherry Red or Candy Red. And I wanted one of those so bad. But I got a blue version of it. I was still super stoked. Got to learning all this Nickelback. I was really into just playing the guitar and wanting to learn it first. And then, man, my high school career, it was really balanced between guitar and wrestling. I had a couple concussions through my high school career. Eighth grade, I got one. I call eighth grade high school because where I'm from, it's 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Okay.
So it's all in one building.
Wow.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But the 7th and 8th grade hallways down one side, and then, you know, obviously the varsity side would be on the other side of the building. But, now, I got a concussion in eighth grade playing football, and I missed my eighth grade wrestling year, and I was really, really bummed out about that. So I was done with the football after that and just stuck to wrestling, came back, ninth grade, varsity, had a great time, ended 15-14, and it was a really great season for me.
Yeah.
And didn't make it to regionals or states or anything, but I was still really proud of, you know, coming off of a year off.
Yeah.
You know, being on varsity, I was 165. So that was a super tough weight class. And, no, it was just just really proud of myself for that. Yeah. And then I want to say the next concussion I got was in 10th grade. I was at practice at Penn State at Nittany Line Wrestling Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Myself and somebody else was getting taken down, and we just bonked heads. Ooh. And yeah, I was, oh man, it was like, wow, that really, really hurt.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember if it was them, but they were like, yeah, you're pretty much done with the contact sports because it's kind of getting out of hand. Like eighth grade was really, really tough. Like that concussion was bad.
Yeah.
And so they were like, yeah, you probably should not do this anymore. And
jeez.
What's that?
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm just thinking that must have really like hurt, you know, because wrestling sounds like it was your passion. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I really loved it. And I remember sitting in the doctor's office crying about it because yeah. I was just so like, really, you're going to take that away from me?
Right.
And I actually was so upset that I doctor shopped and went out to Pittsburgh and
really?
saw Mickey Collins. I think that's who it was. He was doing like the Steelers players.
Wow.
And
good second opinion.
Yeah. I was like, I cannot be done with this. Like there's no way. And so he actually did clear me and I came back 11th grade. I think I wrestled and all went well during my 11th grade year. But then I started doing photography in my senior year.
Okay.
And I was doing senior pictures for people and stuff like that. And I actually slipped during a photo shoot. Yeah. It's like going down a bank of a creek and I slipped and like jarred myself. And at that point they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Like chill out.
Chill
like,
out. Yeah.
You're obviously like so clumsy or whatever the problem is.
Yeah.
So, I ended up coaching my senior year, junior high. And, that was an awesome experience. I, you know, really, really cherished that time. And, then I was like, I think I might have to focus on music now and just see. Cause like I said, that was so balanced out. Like if I wasn't wrestling, I was in my bedroom playing guitar, learning something. Yeah. And, I think 10th grade is when I kind of started messing with writing and singing and stuff like that. So I was gradually getting to that point.
Right.
But, hearing them say like, yeah, that's kind of it. That was kind of shattering for me.
Gut-wrenching probably for sure. And it's one of those things where like concussions are serious. I think a lot of times people, because you're not bleeding or your arm's not, you know, twisted backwards or your ankle's not twisted behind you, people are like, oh, you know, are you really
hurt? But that was like how it was through high school. It's like you don't have a cast on your arm, you're fine. It's I'm not fine real.
Yeah, especially kids, you know, like kids in your grade probably were like, or other players sometimes, and it's like, no, that's pretty serious. So it was like perfect timing that you were getting into playing guitar.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, one passion comes to an end, you know, or a door closes, another door opens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right, so you get the guitar. You're starting to write songs. Early stages, though, real early stages. Wrestling's done. At some point, I think you were pretty young in your teenage years, maybe. You moved to Nashville?
Yeah, I moved to Nashville.
How did that transition happen? Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I started with the songwriting stuff around 10th grade, so that would have been 2010. I graduated in 2012. I wanted to go to college, but I obviously wanted to wrestle.
Yeah.
And so with that kind of being off the table, I was like, I don't really know what I would want to do in college. Like, I was going to go figure it out there and, you know, just see what comes. I was doing like a communications thing there at Penn State, and summer courses were awesome. I did English and photography.
Nice.
I was like, that's easy.
Cake,
love that.
Right? Yeah. Fun, right?
Yeah. And I was like, maybe I can do this college thing. Nah. The fall came around and it was another beast up there. Like 40,000 kids on campus. And like, I think originally I was doing like kinesiology. So I went into like the bio hall and it was this big auditorium. And I was like, not a chance.
Yeah.
Because even like high school was really hard for me with the concussions and like, it's better for me to be hands-on with, I mean, I'm one of those kind of guys. I love shop and I excelled in those kind of classes rather than the books and like having to study like that. That's so tough for me for some reason.
Yeah.
But it was kind of the fall semester that I was like, yeah, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to my parents and I was like, what do you guys think if I like moved to Nashville and like really tried to do this for real? And they were like, if that's what you want to do, go for it. Like,
really? So they're supportive, mom and dad. 100%.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, my parents, they really are, you know, ideal parent. Great.
Ride
A.
or die.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they are the best. I don't give them enough credit, I don't think, because they really are everything. They really got me to this point, to be honest with you. So, yeah, my parents have been everything through this.
What's their first and last name? Yeah.
Robert and Lori Yarger.
Robert and Lori, shout out. Yeah.
Yeah, big shout That's out. That's awesome. Big shout out to them.
I feel like, and was I correct? It was around like 19 or so?
Yeah, I was 19 years old. So I worked a year at our, you know, machine shop and saved up. And in May of 2014, I moved down. Okay.
Yeah, so. I just feel like a lot of parents at that age would be like, no.
Yeah, especially in that town, too. Yeah, like it was kind of crazy now that I think about it. But, yeah, no, it was awesome. They helped me move down and, yeah, got me all set up and everything.
Yeah.
And said good luck.
And I feel like that at that age to make that decision, that's a big, you know, decision, big kind of leap of faith because, but yet it's so like a smart move, right? You knew, okay, I'm not going to learn with one teacher and I got like 200 kids here in this auditorium. You know what I mean? And I'm a hands-on learner, which for me, that's how I'm either visual or I got to be hands-on.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't sit there and read this chapter and, you know, look at the PowerPoint. Like no. So for you to be, you know, 19 and be like, okay, this isn't for me. I'm not going to waste money. I'm not going to waste time. Let's go right to Nashville. You know, let's do it and go down to Music City and see what happens. So what was that journey like? I mean, there had to be some tough moments. You're living down there by yourself?
I moved down there with a girlfriend, and it was shortly after we got down there that we were like, yeah, this ain't it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just kind of one of those things. She wanted to change and, like, just, yeah, not good. So it was, like, June, I think, I started living on my own. And it was interesting. You know, as I look back now, I wish I kind of would have waited till I was 21 because at 19, it's like, what am I doing here? Like, I knew nobody. So, like,
yeah,
that was crazy. And so I go down and, you know, I just start working. And the work that I got into was selling boots. And though I love it, like, I would sell boots all day. Like, if I could still sell boots today, I would be doing that because I genuinely love that. And, you know, like I said, that was great. But after, like, months of 12-hour days, I mean, I'm working downtown Nashville. And at that time, man, it was crazy. There were boot stores. Broadway now is nothing like it was when I was there and living in that town.
Mm.
There were multiple boot stores owned up and down Broadway by the same guy. And so, like, every now and then you would kind of, I'd be in this store, Big Time Boots. That one's still there. But there used to be Trail West on 2nd Avenue. I worked there. What is now Kid Rock's Honky Tonk.
Yeah.
That used to be one of the boot stores. It was like a historic building, and they tore it down to build the new Honky Tonk. So, yeah, I was like, damn, what a world. Making that money talks, man. It's crazy. Yeah. And so, that was a great gig. But, man, working 12-hour days, like CMA Fest, you were there at 8 a.m. because one, you had to get in before they closed, you know, roads down and stuff like that. And then, you know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, we're closing up because everything, you know, is starting to shut down. So, I think I did that for like 2 years and I was like, I think I'm good on the boots. Like, I got to do some music stuff. I didn't move down here to sell boots. Like, this is great and, you know, making money, but I never did any music stuff because I was always working.
Mm. Oh, yeah, right. What, you got boots on now? Like, what's your favorite
pair of boots? Oh, yeah, I got R. Watson's on right now. It's a new brand. I don't know who the guy came from, like what, Lucchese or whoever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they started their own brand a couple years ago, and, man, they fit my foot to a T.
Perfect.
Oh, they're so comfortable. They look good. I love that they have this, like, it's not a square toe, but it's also not a pointed toe. Looks great on stage. And so, it's
comfortable.
Yeah.
That's amazing, right?
Oh, man. I could wear them all day.
There you go.
So, R. Watson, but Lucchese's a great brand. Dan Post.
Ariat? I guess that's more Ariat, equestrian or something. I don't know.
I am a leather sole guy. Ariat makes a lot of rubber sole, which that's cool. I
mean, yeah.
You need a good work boot. So that's a great, that's what I would put. Like if somebody came in.
I don't know much about boots. I just, my buddy got married and we had to wear, he wanted to get boots. It was jeans, boots, real nice vest and stuff. Yeah. Shout out to Dylan if you're listening, bud. I know you are. Yeah, so that was like my first pair of boots is these nice Ariat. I got the American flag on. It's like a camo and stuff.
That's awesome.
But I don't know if they're considered. I guess they're considered cowboy boots. Yeah, I don't know.
Absolutely.
But
I mean, it probably just has a rubber sole.
It does. So, it does. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, all right. So you're selling boots, which you could still do to this day. But again, you realized, okay, I'm here for a bigger purpose. I want to sing. I want to be a songwriter.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I did turn 21 finally. and I got out there, played a couple of writers rounds. I got linked up with Trent Willman that way. I forget, there was a guy from Florida. Oh my gosh, can't remember his name. I can see his like whole Facebook and everything, but I cannot think of his name to save my life. He got me hooked up with Trent because I did this writer's round, and apparently Trent was there. And like, again, I'm super green. Like, I had no idea who this guy was.
Yeah, yeah.
This is actually kind of crazy. So yeah, I played this like writer's round, and the guy's name was Thomas. He hit me up and he was like, "Hey man, Trent Woman was at the round the other night. He was like giving you some like chops, like really, you know, gassing you up." And I was like, "Oh wow, that's really awesome." He compared me to some songwriter. And I was like, "Oh wow, that's cool." And I was like, "You think he'd ever want to write sometime?" Like, whoa. Again, I have no idea who this guy is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm thinking, like, yeah, well, shoot your shot. Might as well.
Hell
like,
yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
So I was like, "You ever think he'd want to write?" And he's like, "Yeah, let me ask him and see what he says." So yeah, he asked him and got back to him. He's like, "Yeah, sure, we'll do it." So yeah, that was like the coolest experience. That's where one of those came from. Was our first co-write together. We were in the Warner Music Group building on wow. Music Row. Yeah, it was super cool. Like, what? It was such a surreal like
yeah.
time of my life, because like you come down Music Row and it's like one of the last buildings on the end there by the square. And you pull in, and you know, I sign in, and I'm looking at names like Taylor Phillips was in there, Hurricane co-writer for yeah. Luke Combs, and so it's like seeing some of these other people that were in there. It's like, oh my god, that's crazy. And so yeah, we go up, and Trent and I we end up writing one of those for our first song, and that was such a like I said, it was such a great day. Like in general, like it was such good energy. The room felt good. You know, between him and I, the energy was really good. And yeah, so that was our first co-write, and then we actually ended up getting a second one set up together. I don't know what was going on that day. I was in a funk, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't super late, but I was definitely late to the gig. I remember, I think I was trying to get like breakfast somewhere, and it just, my timing wasn't lining up right, and then freaking traffic from like downtown to midtown.
I believe it, yeah.
Is a joke. So, yeah, it was just not well-y timed, and I think I was a little late, and so, like, with that being late, I was all flustered off my game, and he was definitely carrying the weight of the second co-write, and then after that, it was just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. He was, I think he was really looking for somebody, like, hungry. I mean, I'm
hungry. Of course you're hungry, right?
Yeah, definitely hungry, but, like...
Oh man!
I don't know. I think that was like the shot to really get it. But yeah, it was just, you know. I mean, it was on me. It's on me. It's all good.
Yeah,
That was when he told me about the song being on hold with Blake Shelton. He was like, "Hey, did you hear
Yeah,
song was on hold with Blake?" And I was like, "I don't know how I would hear that. Like, unless you told me about it,
I'm not gonna know.
I have no idea,
that's
brother.
That's wild. Like, so when you." Like, when you write a song, because obviously I have no idea, and you co-write something, do you know ahead of time, like, okay, this is going for Blake Shelton or Luke Combs or Morgan Wallen? Like, do you know that, or you have no idea? You're just,
how does it work? Write. I mean, I just wanted to see what we could do. And, yeah. You know, we came up with this song, and, you know, with his, I'm not sure what his deal is with the publishing and stuff like that, but... He must have thought it was good enough that, hey, I just wrote the song the other day with this guy. You want to pitch it to somebody? And then I bet his team probably sent it out to multiple people. Ended up on Shelton's desk.
Yeah.
And that was super cool. Like, that was a really cool, you know, experience. Oh, yeah. You know, him telling me, like, hey, you know, did you hear that? I was like, no. He's like, no, it's on hold with Blake Shelton. They're looking at doing it for their next album. So, like... That was really wild, like, hearing some of the stuff he said. Like, we were having a phone call one day, and he was like, don't go out and buy, like, a house or anything like that right now. But, like, if he cuts this song, man, like, that's going to be really life-changing for you. And I was like, wow. Like, I remember being in my living room and, like, being like, wow, it's like that if you get a song like this, you know? Like, that's crazy. Like, I never really thought. Like, I knew you could, like, make money and stuff doing it. But, like, he was like, oh, yeah. And what did he say? He was, He was like, and you know, if he does cut it and if it goes number one, you're going to have a fuckload of money, dude.
Wow.
I was like, okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, really. I was like, wow, that's crazy. So fingers crossed on that, brother. Yeah, like, yeah. That's what I need to do. Make sure everything's good to go for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, unfortunately, never went with it. We did have some success, though. I'm still super proud of that song. Jake Jacobson from Nevada. He cut it and put it on an EP. He did a great job with it. You know, gave it his own little twist. I think he's from Nevada. He's a great, you know, I think he's an independent artist. I want to say that he was also, you know, working with Trent and, you know, producing him. I know Trent's worked with Randall King. I know that he produces a bunch of Cody Johnson stuff.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of like, he was looking for like somebody that Cody Johnson's like ready to slingshot. I was so green too at the time. So
yeah,
it's like,
you're right.
I wasn't ready. And so like, I totally like respect that. But yeah, no, it was super cool. And somebody else from down in Texas, Six Sanchez, he cut it.
Okay.
He cut it first and then Jake did it. And yeah, super grateful for that. And like, that's getting cool checks in the mail for 25 cents. Like, that's cool. Like, I don't know. Feels cool.
No, for sure.
It's all part of the process, I guess.
Well, exactly. You got to start somewhere, right? Yeah, and it's absolutely. Like, yeah, the fact that, I mean, you're even, your name is in there with Blake Shelton, these other huge artists, and you're only 21. You know what I mean? You were just there. And it's like, a lot of people can't say, you know, they've ever tried that because maybe they didn't have the gumption to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's take a quick sip break.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. Oh, and also I want to give you kudos real quick while I'm thinking of it, for back in your trailer and your nice pickup truck here on 9th Street. For the listeners that know and the guests that have been on the podcast, you know, the front parking lot's not very big. So, you know, I applaud you for getting that parked real nice and then unhooking it and getting the truck parked.
Dude, absolutely. I didn't want to park like an asshole. I was thinking, like, do you just leave it on there and pull it in sideways? But I was like, no. Just,
you did it right.
Take 30 seconds. I'm one of those guys, man, I like to plan ahead, especially like traveling all over the place. My little cheat code to traveling is getting on Google Maps and doing the street view of where I'm going.
Yes.
That way I know what I'm looking at like before I get there. Like, we went up to New York City and it's like, I know exactly where I'm going because I went down this street on Google Maps and like, there's that, there's this. So I did that before coming down here. I was like, ooh. You got to be smart about this. Yeah, and then when I was coming in, I was like, okay, you're going up one lane road. So yeah, I got down to the light and like everybody and their brother was apparently coming through town.
Seriously.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, good, good. So
this is great. Yeah.
Going to make this work out real quick here. So that's what we had to do.
Yeah, you did. You did. I'll tell you what, Google Maps is, I think, a little underrated, just real quick sidebar. Everyone's like, oh, Waze or Apple Maps. No, Google Maps is where it's at. I use it.
Google Maps is all the time.
Yeah, for sure. So, Let's pick back up. You're down in Nashville. How do you then, I mean, obviously you come back home, you move back up here to PA. Like,
that transition happened. Yeah. I fully blame COVID, to be honest with you. That was such a shitty time, man. Like, anybody that was doing music knows that was horrible. Like, I mean, everybody was doing Facebook Lives and like, you're making the best of it. But like, at the end of the day, like, that sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that was so tough. For sure. I had a whole album ready to come. I dropped a whole album that Friday that the world shut down.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty salty about that time because like, I had all this stuff lined up, acoustic tour. I was going to go down to Florida. I bought like loads of copies of the CD to go out and, you know, sell $10 or whatever. And as you know, the world shut down that Friday and that was that. So where I was kind of bouncing back and forth at the time. I think it was in like 2017. So like 3 years before, I was really bouncing back because I had a manager booking guy in Delaware, Smyrna area. Him and I were working together. He would always bring me up here for shows. So it was kind of like I live back home, live in Nashville here and there, 50-50, I would say. And but yeah, 2019, I was playing AJ's downtown second floor acoustic, and I also had a gig at the airport there in Nashville. It was at the Gibson Cafe, which unfortunately is not there anymore.
It was
a great gig, man. Like, you didn't get a base pay, so like, you're gonna learn how to do this.
Yeah,
And yeah, you made tips, and what you made is what you made. The shortest set was 3 hours, and then there was a 4 hour, 2 4-hour sets and a 3 hour set. And that was the whole day's worth of music there. So I think you started at like 8 or 9 p.m. I think it was 8 to 12, and then 12 to 3 or 4, and then 4 to 8. I can't remember how it was laid out, but man, it was such a fun gig because like all walks of life coming through there.
Oh yeah, I bet. Right.
I mean, I got linked up with people from down in Texas, you know, from playing that gig, and they're still great friends to this day. Shout out Dana and Lisa having their ranch party out there. Nice. You know, just great experiences come from that gig. And so, yeah, COVID came to town. That obviously got shut down. Nobody's traveling. So, like, that immediately stopped. Yeah. And so I went into kind of, like, hibernation like everybody else did.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was, like, I was kind of fed up. Not, I guess fed up is the right word to say, because it was tough. Like, I knew nobody. So trying to break into, like, these cliques and stuff, like, yeah. Oh, my gosh, who was it? One of the guys that writes with like Luke Combs. Like I remember running around with him one night, and it's like, wow, I was like that close to, yeah, we could have been in a co-write together, and like that could have been on a Luke Combs album. Yeah. You know, like it's just like crazy to think back now and like see
you were there.
Yeah, like I was living that stuff. Like, yeah, that's really crazy to think about. But like I said, man, trying to get into those cliques, man, if you weren't from there or like you didn't go there with a little group of people, yeah, man, you good luck.
It's tough. Real tough, shit. I imagine. Yeah.
Seriously tough. And it is cutthroat. They say it's cutthroat down there. And it's like, yeah, it is. No doubt. Yeah. I got that firsthand. So. Yeah. But no, great experiences. I have, you know, I learned so much. I think it was just a part of the journey. You know, Willie Nelson moved out there. His house burned down. He moved back to Texas. And it's like, like I said, learned so much. I got to play CMA Fest. That was a really, really notable gig. It was really fun. Like that was in 2019 too. So that was right before everything shut down.
Okay.
And I think that whole like kind of time for me is kind of tough because everything seemed to be rolling in the right direction. You know,
yeah,
like CMA Fest 2019. That was in the summer, and then like trickling music out, and then yeah, we get to like March 2020, and like here I am ready to drop this album, and like COVID comes to town. It's like, oh man, how do you bounce back from this? So that kind of led to this whole Armadillo birthing.
Adam and the Armadillos, like, talk about that a little bit, because that's a pretty wild name. I like that, you know.
So I gotta give a shout out to the band now titled Silverada. They used to be formerly known as Mike and the Moon Pies.
Okay.
And great band, great Texas band. Love their style, love their energy. They are really, really good dudes. I mean, I don't know them personally, but man, they rock. They really do rock. And you know, kind of idolize them a little bit. So I was like, man, if I'd start a band, I'd kind of want it to be, you know, everybody seems to struggle with Yarger as a last name.
Yeah.
They either can't spell it or they can't say it right. So I wanted to kind of get away from that and kind of rebrand and just kind of start over. And so I was thinking with my wife, like, what would be a good band name? And so we're going back and forth. And I was like, if we use Adam, it's got to have another A, like Mike and the Moon Pies.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know who said it first, but one of us, we were going back and forth. And we were like, Adam and the Armadillos. And it's like, that's it. That is fully it. We're done. Like that.
Yeah. Rolls off the tongue.
It's catchy. People, you know, people really do love the amount of times that people are like, I love that band name. Like, that is, yes, that's awesome. I love that band name. It's like, it's, I hear different that more times than not. And it's like, that's really awesome. Like, I do enjoy, you know, hearing that. It's really cool. So,
yeah. So then from there, I mean, you have your band. You played, what was it? Maybe I'm fast forward a little bit too much, but up at Penn State back home for Thon.
Yeah. Yeah,
what was that experience like? I've never been to Thon, but I've seen pictures, video.
Oh, man. It is
wild.
It's definitely something to check out. If you're ever up in the area around that time, or if you just really want to check it out, I mean, it is for a good cause. It's a Children's Cancer Foundation or fundraiser, excuse me. Student-run how do you say it?
Philanthropy?
Philanthropy, yeah. Student-ran, it's a 2 or 3 day, I don't really know how they like go about it, but I know it is like
it's like nonstop dancing. You're right, for like 2 or 3 days straight.
Oh yeah,
right?
It's crazy. They 24/7 really are nuts about it, and they raise like millions and millions of dollars just from dancing.
Yeah,
and so yeah, they hosted the Jordan Center, so they pack like 9,000 to 10,000 people in there, and they got a big stage, whole light, you know, production. And the first year we did it, they were like, "Yeah, we're having like a country hour, and we'd love for you guys to play at Rodeo Hour or whatever the heck they called it." And yeah. They were like, yeah, it's at 4:40 in the morning on Sunday.
What? 4:40 in the morning on Sunday?
Yeah, okay. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And the other two guys in the band, they had previously played Thawne, and they were like, oh, no, it is a crazy time, but, like, you got to do it, man. Like, you got to experience it and, like, just go with it. It'll be worth it, I promise. And so, yeah, we ran it up 4:40 to 5:40 a.m. on Sunday morning. It was, like, 2023, I think. And, man, the kids that were coming through Penn State those couple years, they loved country music. So, like, it went off.
It hit.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was crazy.
It slapped, as I say, yeah.
Yeah, it went off. It slapped. It was fire. Right. And then the set was good, too. We had a bunch of, like, 90s bangers. Like, Tim McGraw was in there. Zach Bryan was in there. And, like, at that time, that dude was, like, smoking it, you know, in the music world. And so, yeah, that was electric. We got the only ever encore in Thawne history. Like,
whoa.
The guy came out and they're, one more song. It was crazy. It was actually, like, really mind-blowing. And we're all kind of like, what do we do? And they were like, well, if you got one more, I guess give them one more.
Let's go.
So, we did Chicken Fried. And, like, so, like, what a solid song to, like, good end one. On.
Yep.
And so that was, like, a staple in, like, Thawne history, I would say. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement, but I don't know. Like I said, it was a pretty legendary night. And then, you know, 24 and 25, great. You know, I don't think anything will ever top that.
The first, right? Yeah, the first time.
Unbelievable.
What was it like, you know, being that first time? Like, what was your energy? How'd you feel, like, when you got done? Like, what was it like?
I went through a couple different emotions because – one, I've never played an arena like that. That was huge, like 10,000 people.
Yeah.
I think there was around 9,94, I think I heard 9,400 people there for that. And, like, that was wild. And so, like, with coming and never doing that before, the guys were like, definitely, you know, run your in-ears because you're not going to be able to hear anything.
Okay.
And, like, even though, you know, Brandon would have been on the drums, like, 20 feet away, like, you're not hearing the drums.
Wow.
That's like just the room is so big that the sound just gets swallowed by that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the in-ears were like crucial to have for it. And yeah, we went out there and the first like song I was like, I really had to get adjusted to that because like I'm hearing it bounce back off and like it sounded huge. Like even with my in-ears in, I could still hear and it sounded massive. And so getting adjusted to that was kind of weird. I kind of like to have one in and one out, that way I can kind of hear it coming back to me and just kind of maybe hear the crowd and everything else.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, like a couple songs in, like I really got my bearings and like came to life with it and starting to eat it up. And then at one point I thought about my grandparents and, they passed away in, it's either 22 or 23. My grandfather died in March and then my Graham died of a broken heart that following October. So that was really heavy for me. And I don't know, there was just something about it that like made me think of them. I like looked up at the top at the rafter, like I saw the American flag and I was just thinking like, wow, I really hope that like they're watching this, like wherever they're at, like if they could take a break and check this out, this is really cool. And so that was I kind of like choked up during that moment because I said, that was like they just meant so much to me. And so like getting my first guitar, I'd always stop in and like play, you know, music for them. They ended up getting me a Taylor before they passed away. And they got me a Martin in previous years that I used to kind of trade up to this Gibson now. So it's kind of like,
wow,
I cherish that guitar just as much as my Taylor. And yeah, so thinking about them kind of got me choked up, but yeah, muscled through that. And just even like the energy coming off the kids, like a lot of people said afterwards, like, oh wow, I was dying in that moment and you guys were the energy that we needed, you know,
I see what you're saying.
At that time. And it's like, that felt really good because like going into it, it's like, oh wow, that's crazy, like that's nuts.
Yeah,
but then to hear like what that meant to the kids, like I really needed that. I was like dying, and you know, you guys seriously energized me for the rest of the day, because they only had a couple more hours to go. So we really kind of like rejuvenated them.
4 or 5 in the morning. Yeah, I mean, you're normally probably sleeping. You know what I mean? And yeah, most of those kids 2 days probably,
of dancing.
Forget about it. Now, do you ever get, you know, do you ever get butterflies? Do you ever get nervous? I mean, you're performing in front of a lot of people. Even if you're performing in front of a couple hundred, let alone a couple thousand, like, did you have that? Did you have to overcome it?
I probably had that when I was really green. I feel like a lot of the places that I've played in my, I guess, history of touring around, because I've been doing like acoustic touring since 2015. I've played so many different rooms. The Jordan Center was definitely like, oh wow, this is like big dogs. So like, this is what Jason Aldean and like all these mega artists, this is what they are doing.
For
like,
sure. Yeah.
That was wild. So definitely had a little bit of butterflies for that one until I got like warmed up. But yeah, man, I've played so many different rooms where it's been like really great. There's been a couple hundred people there. I mean, we've played Champs downtown, where it's assholes and elbows in there constantly, like all night. And you have nights like that. And then there's nights where I play at the First and there's literally nobody in there.
Yeah.
One or two people at the bar.
Just do your thing.
And you learn how to overcome it. You learn how to read the room. And you just make it work.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's take a snack break.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky, eat meat, repeat.
The Another Round EP, that was the Armadillo's first project that we kind of put out, I guess, project as in multiple songs.
Okay.
We were kind of trickling stuff out prior to that. Our label deal, if you want to call it that, we're technically signed to an indie label. It's just a buddy of mine that has this whole label, indie label thing going on. But he's got great connections. It's been working out kind of really well for us.
Nice, and,
Yeah, so kind of what our process is, we'll trickle out singles, and then those get pitched to Apple Music, Spotify for playlist placement.
Okay.
And we've had some success. We haven't had like a ton of success on Spotify, but Apple Music, man, we've gotten I call it some pretty good success. I'm really proud of like She's Already Gone. It's been in this Don't Mess With Texas playlist for like at least a year now. And just crossed over 100,000 streams.
Whoa. But
yeah. So really excited about that.
Yeah.
And with that being like all from basically this playlist, like that's really cool.
Wow.
And it sets it up really well for when we go down to Texas and stuff like that too. Cause all of our like listeners are from Fort Worth and
that's great.
Yeah. Everything else. So that, you know, has been really beneficial for us. But yeah, Another Round, that was kind of like a little follow up, and like, there's some cool Easter eggs about it too. One is, it's another round of music being released. It's the Adam and the Armadillos era. And I guess the Easter egg part of it is 2 songs were on Scratched Up Vinyl, the album that got released in 2020.
Yeah.
I ended up taking that down. I don't know why I did that. I think that was more so like when we got signed to the indie label. Our plan was to re-release these songs as Armadillo songs and just kind of see what had happened. Our plan got intercepted with the invisible stamp that's on the MP3s or WAV file, whatever they put out. It already recognized it as an Adam Yarger song. So like some of the streams that are on Like a Song and Don't Tell Me You Love Me, like it came out and all of a sudden it had like 10,000 streams. And it's like, how'd that happen? Yeah, like, I guess it was already released. But so the songs that we weren't able to pitch, that would be like obviously everything that we'd released prior. But we started writing. I got together with a friend of mine, Tommy John. We wrote She's Already Gone. Hardest Habit was a song that I wrote years ago with a phenomenal. It was one of those like Trent Willman experiences where my producer, Kent, he was like, yeah, I got a couple writers that I want to get you linked up with. We talked about co-writing with the lead singer of Seether. which I really wanted that to happen. I would have died for that. But we never, unfortunately, you know, made that happen. But I still got to write with Jace Hine, phenomenal country writer. He wrote Country Boy's World, 3 Feet of Water, Brantley Gilbert and Jason Aldean songs. And ironically, the Country Boy's World, that Jason Aldean song, was like one of my favorites growing up. So it was really, really cool to be able to get in a co-write with him. And like I said, that co-write was so fun because we ended up writing two songs that night. The first one was super, super mainstream, Luke Bryan to the core. Like, you could just hear Luke Bryan or somebody like that doing this song. And I'm a huge, I guess, marijuana connoisseur.
Okay.
Or whatever you want to call that. I fully believe in the powers that, you know, are that. Like, it's helped me kind of change my perspective on things and life and kind of open my eyes up to a different view of things. It also helped me through my back problems in 2016 and everything else when I got my back surgery. But we both ate one of his like edible like cookie or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time we were done writing the first song, the edibles started kicking in. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm feeling pretty good. If you want to write another one. And he was like, I got time, man. Let's do it. And I was like, let's go. It was just really cool because at that point, like, we're super relaxed now. Like, it's just we're hanging out.
Flow state probably, right?
We're kind of buddies at this point. Yeah. Like, we're both obviously feeling pretty good. And, man, we tore into this, like, honky-ass, like, honky-tonk certified, I don't know. To me, it reminds me of Sturgill Simpson, Long White Line.
Okay.
But we started writing Hardest Habit, and it was so quick. Like, I don't even remember. It was like that. We're done with this song. And when we were putting Scratched Up Vinyl together, I brought it to Kent. And I was like, I really like this song. And I would love to cut it and see how it would come out. And he was like, that's a great song. But to be honest with you, Ashes matches everything else that we've already like recorded up until that point.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'd like to kind of stay with that, kind of fits the theme. He's like, we can go real honky with this song, but like if you're listening through this project and all of a sudden it's like a drastic turn, which personally me, I would have liked that.
Yeah.
Like I'm the kind of guy, I want different. Like I want to hear saxophone and brass in music. Like that's cool.
You
like,
want to be surprised, right?
That's a great aspect to music that I feel like people just like I'm a huge fan of jazz. Like I wouldn't say huge fan, but like I love stuff like Bonnie James, like Watercolors on XM.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, yeah.
Super, super relaxing, but like I can really lock in and get work done to that. I don't know. People call it elevator music, but I like it. Like if, I don't know, whatever. But if you could add like sax and stuff, like I was wanting to add that kind of aspect to it. And so, but we went with Ashes. But again, the way that all things work out in the universe, another round came about. I recorded a couple songs prior to the Armadillos and just kind of sat on them just for something like this to come up.
Yeah.
And so I had one of those, Hardest Habit, and The Day I Got Arrested, all pre-recorded. I did Adam Yarger as The Day I Got Arrested. That's like one of my Adam Yarger songs. Mm-hmm. And then, again, around that time was this whole Armadillo birthing, and I was sitting on the other two songs. And I was like, well, we got one of those, Hardest Habit, and then Trippy, my indie label owner name, the guy.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I'd kind of like to get you one more song for like an EP because we already pitched those three songs for playlisting. And so I procrastinated so long and sure enough had a studio session come up. And another round came. I just sat down and it poured out of me. And so then we compiled all these songs and another round was born.
That must feel amazing when it just comes to you. You know what I mean? It's just natural. You
know? Oh, yeah. I think songwriting is definitely one of the hardest things. I mean, for me, I don't know if you want to call it a writer's block or if I just have too much going on where my mind is so, you know, hyper-focused on something else. But, man, when I can sit down and get something out, man, it is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, one, it doesn't ever seem to, like, take long. Like, if I'm messing with a song, it's rare that I kind of like let it go for weeks. I mean, if it's off to a really good start and I don't want to forget it,
yeah,
I'll put it in the notes and voice memo. But yeah, when I can get something out, that's just a really good feeling.
The Notes app. So many guests that have sat in that chair have talked about the Notes app, and I use it all the time. It's like, yeah, you get little ideas, boom, jot it down, you put it in there. So what is the future for Adam and the Armadillos? Like, what do you see? What's the future hold?
Brand new single, May 9th, dropping. I just saw today that the sound clip is on Instagram. I didn't see it on TikTok yet, but okay. I'm going to start really hammering the reels and trying to, you know, push that whole thing. But yeah, push this new single. There's a couple other songs that I have wrote that would kind of like to get recorded here soon and kind of go about the same process, get the songs together, you know, get this project going, pitch them, release them, and just, I don't know. I think the main goal for me right now is not focus so much on, like, big albums, more so with the way that we've been going about it. We just want to get as much music out there, and if it's a single or an EP, you know, just something little.
Yeah.
I think for right now, that fits kind of my lifestyle anyways, is just kind of, here's a song, and if one catches, we'll keep doing it.
Let's go. Yeah. And so I don't forget, your wife's first name?
Lauren.
Lauren. Shout out to Lauren for letting you come down here and being supportive. Sounds great, like she's real supportive. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome. She's been an incredible support system.
Yeah. So I want to ask you this, for young musicians that may be listening, you know, that are growing up in small towns here in Pennsylvania, you know, what would you say is something that, a piece of advice, what's a piece of advice for them to, you know, maybe one day fall in your shoes and move to Nashville, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think one thing I would like to share, I asked Jake Owen when he came to our fair in 2007. I did like the meet and greet line or whatever.
And what fair real quick?
Center County Grange Fair.
Grange Fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about this. I heard a little about this.
It was in the notes, and we didn't get to touch on it, but that too was also a very memorable show. I got to play it in 2016. Got some guys from Nashville because at that point I was 2 years into my, you know, residency down there.
Yeah.
And got some guys together. My dad, you know, again, trooper. He drove down in the Suburban. We rented a van. Or no, he rode down with me. We rented a van. And then he picked up the drummer in Nashville, the guitar player in Ohio at like midnight. The night before the gig.
Your dad's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, Bob is the man. Bob is the man. And then the bass player, he drove in from Pittsburgh the day of the gig. So it was a huge, huge ordeal. But the gig was awesome. Super memorable show for me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Jake Owen came to the fair in 2007. And I'm a huge Jake Owen fan at that. So I was super excited to meet him. And one of the things I asked him was kind of the same question, like, what is something you would tell like a younger artist? And he told me, just keep doing it. And I've experienced, you know, I've been doing it now for officially like 11 years. And I've had some great experiences, had some really tough experiences. But yeah, just to keep doing it, keep writing. I think writing is huge. There's a huge surge, I feel like, right now. Maybe I'm just being silly, but I feel like a lot of people love the storytelling writing right now. Like, I think a lot of people are really listening, and I think they want to hear something of substance. So storytelling is huge right now. So keep writing, keep saving, you know, because once you get all these songs, you want to go record them.
Yeah.
You know, figure that stuff out. But yeah, just keep hammering it out. Learn the avenues, because there's so many different routes. Like, I do all the – I pretty much do – booking, graphics, anything you see online. If it's not Justin, shout out to JO Photography, my man Justin Ortega, phenomenal. Yeah. I also want to try to get him in here
because
he's been crushing it. Okay. Video, photo, he is my dude. If he's not doing the music videos or, you know, some kind of graphic, it's me.
It's you.
Yeah. And same with booking and just all that stuff. It's just really crazy. So yeah, I would say learn as much as you can. Learn the business side of it, learn graphic side of it, keep writing, learn as many instruments. I mean, I would love to learn piano. I think that's a solid foundation for understanding music as well. But just keep hammering it out.
I love that. And it's almost like a jack of all trades, you know what I mean? Yeah, not absolutely. Only are you the singer and songwriter, but you're creating the social media posts, you know, you're doing all that. And I think a lot of times people don't see that behind the scenes kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I'm just doing the local podcast here, but, like, it's a lot of, like, your time on the stage, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
Like, recording episodes, that's fun. But then it's the editing, it's the social media posts that's, like, kind of like work. It's not because it's, I don't know. It's, maybe,
it's fun.
It's fun.
Sure.
It's fun. Right. That's
and
what I'm getting
to. Doing it.
But it's like, it's hours, you know? Sometimes it's going to be hours.
Oh, it takes up a lot of time. There's a lot of times where I'm in the den and Lauren's just in the living room and it's like, sorry, I got to work on this or get this done.
Right.
Like, just what it is.
You got to do it. You got to do it. But yeah, and I think, you know, like you're saying, consistency and just do it, right? Like, just keep doing it. Keep showing up, you know? That's really it. That's half the battle right there, showing up. And don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Because I think that stops a lot of people. They just, you know, they worry about what other people think, whether it's friends, family, you know?
And I think a lot of people don't understand how big the world is. Like, just because people in your town don't really care for what you're doing doesn't mean somebody from Arizona or, like, I don't know. I feel like there's so many weird things that will randomly come on my TikTok or my Instagram, and it's like, what in the world? And then you, like, go to their profile, and it's like, this is, like, a whole world in its own.
Yeah.
And you never would think that. So I would say don't be afraid to, like, put yourself out there, because anybody can be an asshole on a keyboard and fuck those people like that.
Yeah.
You don't. One, those people are helping your algorithm. You know, you want to comment, go ahead. Like, I got a hater, and it's like, it's so funny to me anymore.
Really?
Like, I want to give him a follow. Like, let me follow you. I want to see what you're up to. I want to comment back. Like, that'd be petty. But I know, like, helping my algorithm comment. Like, I love that.
You're just boosting the algorithm. Like,
exactly.
Comment.
Yeah. You're helping me
say
out
by
doing
want.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still watching.
Yeah. Right. You know? Too.
So
like,
you're still watching.
Consuming your
They're
time.
Still listening.
So
So now, if people want to connect with you on the interwebs, where do they go? Where can they find you?
You can check out news on adamandthearmadillos.com, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Adam and the Armadillos. You can check out Adam Yarger as well. But I'm all into pushing the Armadillo brand right now. I love the little, just little brand that it's, you know, kind of created
awesome.
For itself and what we're doing with all that. So, Adam and the Armadillos, Adam Yarger Music, and, come check us out.
Perfect, perfect. And then before we close out, is there anything else that we didn't talk about that I might not know to bring up? I want to make sure we cover everything. And you're always welcome back. Chair's always open, yeah.
All right. Yeah, no, as of right now, I think we covered a lot.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Awesome. Then I'll close it out.
Let's do it.
Cool. Adam Yarger, country singer and songwriter. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.